As always, our song leaders do an excellent job of planning the songs and the service to tie into the message, and do an excellent job. Pastor, again today, you saw the focus on that joy and fellowship we can have with our Almighty God, God that is incomprehensible in his power, his wisdom, and yet he stoops to walk with mankind. It's a wonderful thing. We understand the joy that occurs at salvation, that moment when we go from being lost and dead in our sins and trespasses, separated from God, sitting under his wrath, under his punishment for our sin, and that when you realize the gospel that Christ paid for those sins that you have committed, he was punished in your place, and that you can receive that gift of eternal life through him in faith and just believing that he is the Son of God who took your place. He is your Savior. And turning from sins to the one who can save you. And you have that joy of having that fellowship now with God. I'm right with God. I'm not under his punishment. I'm his child. I can go to him in prayer as my father. And we understand the joy of salvation. Well, you can turn in your Bibles to 1 John. In 1 John, John is telling us that should continue. But we're familiar that sometimes we get discouraged. And the joy of being in fellowship with God it departs, and it's not as joyful. And this is what John is talking about in this passage. He is giving us great news. He's saying this is supposed to continue, and not only that, but it can continue. Here is how this continues. Now, if you note your outline, I've included the last couple of sermons in here. So the first point, the joy of fellowship with God, and that's all how John opened his book, that the message, and our message is a person, it is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the message, John was a part of it. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He touched him. He saw him when he was alive ministering. He heard the message from him directly. He saw him when he died, saw him when he rose again. And so he is a first person testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, the message of salvation. And he writes, verse 4, "These things we write to you that your joy may be full." All right? Go back to verse 3. Why can our joy be full? Because we have fellowship with our Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ." You can have fellowship with the Father and Jesus Christ like we do. And that results in the fullness of joy. And we understand that at salvation, and now he's telling us in the following verses truths. He's given us facts or truths that pertain to our fellowship with God. And we started last week that declaration that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That's relevant to walking in fellowship with God. Because if we're going to walk in fellowship with him, then we also must walk in the light. Because there's no darkness at all. And so that first truth is that if we're going to have fellowship with God, who is, there's no darkness at all, we must walk in the light. Okay, and that's where we were last week. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. So the first truth pertaining to our fellowship with God was that walking in the light is essential to fellowship with the God who is light. All right? Now we're going to continue that in verse 8. Before we do that, why don't we pray? Father, we thank you that you give us such good news, and not just wonderful news, but news that you acted upon, news that you made to occur by sending your Son. The good news is what you have done and your actions towards us as sinners. And so we rejoice in the salvation that you can make us right with you. Our records can be washed clean for all eternity. And then, Lord, as we think of our wonderful salvation, Lord, and then we see the struggle for sin, the struggle we have with sin, and the numerous times we're not walking in fellowship with you, and we're not walking in joy. And, Lord, we rejoice that you would share these words with us through John on how we can and we should be walking in fellowship with you day by day, even though we struggle with sin. So help us to understand your words here, and then, Lord, help us to do them, to obey what you've told us in these passages, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so on your outline, maybe this is encouraging to you. We're already down to 2.B. All right, walking in the light. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So if we're going to walk in fellowship with the Lord in the light, this is not going to help us if we claim we have no sin. All right? Walking in fellowship with God in the light does not result from claiming you have no sin. This is, you think, oh, well, obvious. Well, no. I mean, if we just went through the passage, right? God is light, and there's no darkness in him at all, and we have to walk in the light. Well, how do we get there? Well, I can't, walking in the light, like God is in the light, I can't have any sin, right? I can't have any darkness. Well, the way to take care of that problem is not just to claim you don't have any sin, all right? That's not gonna solve the problem. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17 say this. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The reason I bring that verse up is because Paul explains the problem and why we can't claim we have no sin. Because he talks about here that you, by the way, sin is a noun in this passage, all right? To say we have no sin. It's not to say we aren't sinning, it's to say we have no sin in us. And Paul, in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, he's talking about a conflict that happens in you because you have a problem. You have the flesh. And you also have, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, you have the Spirit. And so you've got these two components going on inside of you, the Holy Spirit of God fighting against your flesh that is very much in tune with sin. If you walk according to the flesh, you're going to, Galatians 5 goes through this list of awful darkness that you will be walking in, these sins, these things you'll be doing. That's walking in darkness. You have a part of you, the flesh, the sin nature. You have a power. Its power is broken at salvation. And it doesn't control you, but it sure influences you and wants to control you. You may have heard Pastor Schultz in the past say that there's a part of us that hates God. It's talking about the flesh. There's a part of, you ever wonder why sin is so appealing? There's a part of us that likes sin. We're attracted to it. It looks good. That's the flesh. There's a part of, now God saves you completely. When you're resurrected, you're going to get a body that this is not going to be like this anymore. Full sanctification. We're looking forward to that day. But for now, over and over in the scriptures, you see there's a conflict. Why? Because we have sin. And again, I went through this last time. We're not talking about your record before God judicially. You're saved. All right? You're saved from your sins, past, present, and future. They're paid for. Your record is clean, but we walk with God as our Father. We're in a family, and there's relationships there. And that relationship is what brings joy to the believer. And so when joy is missing, it's because we're walking in darkness. And so we're not in fellowship relationally with our Father. Well, we have a part of us. We have a part of us that loves sin. And if you claim you have no sin, you're just telling lies to yourself. It's not a solution to the problem that I must walk in darkness, is to deny that there's a problem hindering me from walking in the light as God is in the light. And so you have a problem of walking in darkness. You can't just deny it. That doesn't solve the problem. You can't just say there is no problem. There is no sin. Because we're lying to ourselves. You don't win the battle. Walk in the light by pretending you don't have this part of you that rejoices in and loves sin. Look at verse 9. He gives us the solution. We can't just deny, we can't just say we have no sin. He says in verse 9, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the solution. It's not to deny you have sin. It's to confess your sins to God. Because if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, confession, and this is taught often, but just in case you missed it or you haven't heard it, confession is your agreement with God. You are saying and believing, your words mean something, you're saying and believing that the same thing God says and thinks about your sin, all right? You have the same perspective and attitude and understanding of your sin that God has, okay? That's not a, you know, Lord, please forgive me because, you know, my only concern is that something bad might happen. No, this is seeing the awfulness, the terrible affront that sin is to a God who is good, who is righteous, who is holy. We've been singing about that. And you have that same understanding that this is a terrible thing. This is contrary to everything that God is and what he stands for. And so you have the same attitude. And so you're in agreement with God about your sin. And so when you take your sin to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. First of all, you see there that if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is faithful to forgive us. All right? Every time. If you confess your sins, every time he will forgive you your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What does this mean then when you're not walking in fellowship with God and the joy is missing? The only reason is because you're refusing to confess it. There may be a lot of reasons why you may refuse to confess your sins. One might be you're just enjoying them. You don't want to. You're just living in rebellion to God. Have you ever done this? It's too soon. God, I can't confess. I just did it. I just sinned. I can't confess my sins now. I got to suffer for a while, right? God says if you truly confess your sins, you're turning away from your sin and having the same attitude towards God. He forgives it every time, even when it's right away. The requirement is confession. I'm familiar with that one. I've used that one a lot. I can't. It's too soon. I need to suffer for a while. Maybe it's too often. I've brought this same sin to God how many times? It's too often. No, it says he's faithful to forgive us our sins. Maybe it's just embarrassment. Maybe it's the thought, I don't deserve it. Well, yeah, you're right. But that's not the problem. The problem is that you're refusing to confess it because God offers forgiveness. If you confess our sins, he is faithful every time. So, if you're not walking with God in fellowship, what does this say? You've got something you need to take care of then. You need to confess your sins because that's where the problem is. God doesn't move. We move. We're the ones who are apart from him. He's faithful to forgive us. The next word is important too. Not only is he faithful to forgive us, he is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just. That means it is an appropriate legal decision of God to forgive you. It's right. This is the same word we get for righteous. It is a righteous decision. It is righteous for God to forgive you. Why? Because he punished his son. If you skip ahead to the verse we're going to end on in chapter 2, verse 2, talking about Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. All right? Propitiation. He is the wrath removing sacrifice. He is the sacrifice that satisfies God. God is satisfied with what Jesus did for your sins. The punishment has been handed out, so he can forgive you every time. He's just to do it. The sin has been punished. We'll get a little bit more into that later, but that gives you the idea. This is why he's right to do it. God is never wrong. He never does anything that is unjust or unrighteous. And when he restores you to that fellowship in walking with him, he is right to do it, all because of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's faithful and he's right when he does that. And his forgiveness and cleansing is from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. This goes back to saying we have no sin. We understand we have sin that we aren't even aware of. I hope you understand that. Part of our growth in the Lord Jesus Christ is that we learn from God's word who God is and what he is like, and he reveals something, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, I didn't even know that. I'm not like God in this way. You know, I didn't do that. I'm not that patient, or I'm not that forgiving. I don't forgive every time. I'm not faithful in forgiving those who have sinned against me. And so as we learn, all of a sudden God shines a light on something we've been doing that we've been doing all along and we didn't even know it. But this verse says, when we confess the sins we know, as God teaches us and as we grow, he doesn't just forgive. He forgives us from all unrighteousness. You're walking in fellowship with God, all right? And I don't know about you, but I often thought, I'll add it to my prayer. Okay, these are the things I know. I know there's way more than this. Please forgive me for that too. Confess those things too, but I don't know what they are yet. Because to confess your sin, you have to know what they are. All right, now this gets into one of those sins. Maybe you're refusing to find out what God is like and what he expects of me, right? Ignorance is bliss, right? If I don't know, I can keep, you know, don't So Rob's a police officer, right? And I've learned, don't ask him things. He's going to tell me it's wrong, and now I can't do it with a clear conscience anymore. You know, and so we can treat God that. Well, that's not the intent of this, is just claim ignorance. But as we learn, we confess what we know. Oh, God, you've shown me this. I've seen this in your, I know. And so we confess those sins. But he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, which, guess what? Now you're walking in fellowship with God. Because in him there's no darkness at all. We want to be cleansed from all unrighteousness so that we can walk in fellowship. So this is really a joyful verse. This ought to be, if you don't have it memorized, memorize it. Because you'll need it often. I need it often. All right, this is one of the wonderful verses in the Bible about walking with God, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is how you address sin. You don't pretend it's not happening. In fact, he says that in the next verse, in verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, the first verse is slightly different in verse 8, where he said we have no sin, saying the noun, you know, we don't have any of this sin as in us or as a part of us. Here he's saying if we say we have not sinned, we have not done anything wrong. Again, we have that denial. We make him a liar. He says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is, when you say you've not sinned, that is the opposite of confessing sin. All right? Now you're denying sin. You're denying that you've sinned. A lot of times we think that just by claiming sin is not sin, now we're okay. Well, guess what? You're not in fellowship with God just by changing the definition of sin. Your sin definition has to come from God. It is defined by him. He's the creator. He's the author. And so he is the authority on what is right and what is wrong. And so we don't want to claim that we have not sinned. We have actively sinned. Paul writes about this and how the fact that our flesh leads us to sin, to acts of sin. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. And I want you to remember that as I read through this passage, that this is Paul speaking, the Apostle Paul, right? We would put him up on that pedestal of someone we can follow and imitate as he imitates Christ, all right? The Apostle Paul. And he writes, and he starts in verse 15. By the way, these verses are all in the present tense, okay? Paul's not talking about a time in his past. I was doing, he's not talking in the past. He's talking about present struggles. And he says, verse 15, or he writes this in the present tense, for what I am doing, I'm in Romans 7:15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I don't practice. What I want, what I decide to do, I don't practice. And what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. All right, he's in a conversation about the law, and that the law is good, teaches us to right from wrong. All right, verse 17, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, the evil I don't want to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? The answer, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the deliverance. The deliverance is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul writes about that conflict that we read and that I mentioned in Galatians. The flesh, we've got this part of us that is wants to do sin, and we have this struggle, and we do what we know we shouldn't do, what we don't really want to do, but then we do want to do. And we end up with this conflict that leads to the agony that every believer is familiar with. Why am I so stupid? I know this doesn't bring happiness. I know this doesn't help. I know I'm going to have to apologize later to so and so. Why in the world do I do this? We understand this conflict that we both have sin and we sin. And denying that doesn't put you in the position to walk in fellowship with God. Walking in the light does not result from claiming that we have not sinned. The solution, verse 9, is confession. And he says specifically here back in 1 John, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. You're calling God a liar. His word is not in us. Again, it goes back. Rather than calling God a liar, how about just say the same thing as he does and confess your sin? That's the solution. It's amazing that we have this struggle with sin, and God makes provision so that we can walk in fellowship with him through confessing our sins until that day where he completes the work he has begun in us. And until then, he gives us his Spirit to help. He gives us these instructions to help. Don't play games with the truth. Rather, confess your sins. Let's go to the final two verses that we'll be looking at this morning, which is chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And in your outline, you'll see, I suggest this is a summary of what he's been telling us. These verses summarize his instruction that he's given us about walking in fellowship with God. Chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. All right? Hopefully you've gotten that message. Don't sin. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. Walk in the light as he is in the light. He said earlier, I write to you these things so that you may not sin. I've listed a few passages in your outline for you. Let me read some of them to you. You'll have them there so you can look them up later so you don't need to try to frantically turn to them. But Romans 6, verses 10 through 14. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Paul's there is saying the same thing. The power of sin is broken, so stop yielding yourself to sin. He's saying the same thing as John. I write these things so that you may not sin. He's saying, don't sin. You don't have to sin. The power of sin is broken. You're not a slave to sin. So don't sin. Reckon yourselves dead to sin, alive to God. Know you can walk in fellowship in the light as he is in the light. Don't sin. We get that. We understand that one. But he goes on, and if anyone sins, okay? He's almost saying like, yeah, but if you sin, there's a solution for that as well. If and when you sin. Second Corinthians 5:15, let me read a couple more of these verses here. He died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. There he calls it living for yourself. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Okay, so there he's talking again about that decision. But if we sin, look what he says. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate. That is one, by the way, this is the word John uses on four occasions in his gospel to describe the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the one who comes alongside to help. And here he's saying, Jesus is our advocate, our helper, the one who's on our side helping us. And where is he helping us? He's an advocate with the Father. He's come alongside to help us with the Father. It's, some would use the description, he's our defense attorney. All right, he's on our side. He's helping us. He's an advocate with the Father. And it's Jesus Christ the righteous, the unblemished Lamb. You see, Jesus always has perfect standing with Father. There was a brief time in the past where he didn't, where he bore the wrath of God. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where he tasted death for all mankind, death not only in physical death, but death in being separated from God. But God is well pleased with the Son. That work is finished. It's completed once for all. And God is, Jesus is in the light. He is the Son of God. He knows exactly what walking in the light is. It's Jesus Christ, the righteous, the worthy sacrifice. And what is he advocating? He himself is the propitiation, the satisfaction for the wrath of God, the wrath-removing sacrifice. He is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. And not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. He is the satisfaction for our sins. He is advocating to the Father, it's paid for. This is going back to why, this is why I said it's a summary. This is going back to why he is faithful and why God is just to forgive us our sins. Because the payment's been made by Jesus, the righteous Lamb. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the world. The problem is that so much of mankind rejects that offer. And they insist they don't need an advocate. Maybe they insist they're never going to be before the throne of God. It doesn't matter the real reason. What matters is they reject Jesus Christ being their advocate, because they reject the sacrifice he made on their behalf. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20 talks about this very thing and says this is our message. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is our message to the world who has no relationship with God, who are not made righteous in any way in salvation. Our message to them is the reconciliation is there. We plead, we implore them on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is the gospel. And so Jesus is this propitiation, this satisfaction of the wrath of God on sin. Well, our lesson from this passage is that we would walk in the light. And he tells us exactly how to do it. It doesn't come by denying our sin nature. It doesn't come by denying that we have sin or that we have committed sin. It comes by confessing our sins to the one who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what's the result of this? It is the active joy, not just the joy in your salvation and you know the future, but the active joy of walking now, this moment, in fellowship with your God and with your Savior. We don't fight that battle. We don't receive that joy by denying sin. We don't fight that battle by denying our nature and who we are. We don't fight that battle by lying and denying that we commit sins. We fight that battle by confessing our sins, by striving not to sin, by understanding our nature that likes to sin and calling out our own sin, confessing our sin to this wonderful God who is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to add one more thing about this. John says your fellowship with us, and truly, really, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son. But we can help each other here. We're all in the same boat. We know this truth, right? So do we gotta pretend? Right? Do you ever do that, right? You've heard this illustration 100 times. I can argue with Rebecca on the way to church, and then when we get in the doors, hi, how are you doing? I'm doing great, right? You know, we can help each other with this. We know the battle. We're all going through it. Paul could write, I get the battle. I struggle with this. We can help each other. There's a lot of things we can pray for each other about. This one is always there. We can always be praying for one another, because I know Deacon Mike Torgerud struggles with sin. And Lord, he needs your help. And he's praying, yeah. And I really know Pastor Steve Abrams struggles with sin. You know, we can pray for each other in this battle. Help us to see our sins so we can confess it. Encourage one another. We don't arrogance and pride and trying to hide all this, that doesn't help. We like sin, and we struggle with sin. And we need encouragement and help. And the Bible says things like confess your faults one to another. Confess your sins one to another. Why? Because we get it. We know the struggle. And it's not to say, oh, it's okay, yeah, we're all sinners, get used to it, you'll get comfortable. No, that's not where we're going with this. It's like, oh, yeah, I know the struggle. But you can get back. You can get back walking with your Lord right now. Confess your sins. Don't forget the verse. We can encourage and help one another in this. And understand with a little humility, we are willing to help encourage one another in this. So this is something also we can do as we reflect on using this passage. We can use it in encouraging one another. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for really this wonderful encouragement that even though we're sinners, even though we have failed, even though we struggle with sin, we can be walking in righteousness with you. And Lord, really, we need to be on top of confessing our sins. And for that, Lord, we're asking you to work in our hearts to make us aware that your Holy Spirit would raise that turmoil in our hearts when we've sinned against you so that we can very quickly turn back to you, confessing our sins, and be restored to that fellowship as you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Help us to do this, and help us to encourage one another in this. It's just a joy that even as those who have placed their faith in Lord Jesus Christ, who are redeemed, who are, our eternity is secure, and yet you're still working on us, you're still helping us until that day your work is finished. And so we thank you for this encouragement and help. Help us to use it and to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.